WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Sarah Vowell, often reads her funny and perceptive essays on the public radio program This American Life. She's a contributing editor for the show. If you know her work, then you know that she is immersed in music and movies. Her first collection of essays was even named after a line in The Godfather, "Take the cannoli." So the focus of her new book may seem somewhat out of character, her life as a history buff. Her new book is called The Partly Cloudy Patriot. In her chapter, "God Will Give You Blood to Drink in a Souvenir Shot Glass," she confesses that she often spends vacations touring historical sites and devotes a considerable part of the rest of her life to reading about history. I asked her to read an excerpt of that chapter.
I am 1-1-800 number away from ordering the Time Life World War II series off the TV. I have set my alarm so I wouldn't miss a C-SPAN morning live remote from the house of the Revolutionary War pamphleteer Thomas Paine. I celebrated my 30th birthday at Grant's Tomb. My airport reading material, a novelization of Gettysburg here, a Lyndon Johnson biography there, always receives an approving glance from whatever middle-aged man on my flight is perusing the new Stephen Ambrose book. Because every domestic flight requires a middle-aged man with a Stephen Ambrose book in his carry-on luggage. It's an FAA regulation. The historical periods I like to learn about aren't so much costume dramas as slasher flicks. The French Revolution is a favorite because it features the beloved plot of carnage in service of democracy, but I prefer American history. And if I had to pick my pet domestic bloodbaths, nothing beats Salem or Gettysburg. I'm a sucker for Puritan New England and the Civil War because those two subjects feature the central tension of American life, the conflict between freedom and community, between individual will and the public good. That is a fancy way of hinting that sometimes other people get on my nerves. I'm two parts loner and one part joiner, so I feel at home delving into the epic struggles for togetherness. Plus, Puritanism and the war between the states inspired some of the greatest American writing, scary sermons and Lincoln speeches, writing which asked, to me, the question, if you're so gung-ho on the fellowship of your countrymen, why have you had your phone off the hook for the last 4 days?
That's Sarah Vowell reading from her new book, The Partly Cloudy Patriot. Describe why you titled your book that.
Well, I guess there are a couple of answers to that. For a long time, I didn't have a title, and I was trying to come up with something that captured my ambivalence toward the country, because I can be incredibly patriotic, but on the other hand, I have a lot of misgivings and qualms and no problem with expressing those. And I was reading Thomas Paine's pamphlet, American Crisis, which was written during the American Revolution, and it starts with that famous passage about these are the times that try men's souls and that the sunshine patriot and the winter soldier will, shrink from duty. And I really like that passage because it's just so unambiguous about, you know, we have to win this war and let's get cracking. And while I admire that sentiment, I'm always a little more gray than that. And so I thought, I'm not sunshine patriot, but I'm partly cloudy.
Sarah, you love history, and you write about that in your first essay in your new collection. And this essay finds you at Gettysburg on the 137th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. So you're there for another reading of it. There's a paragraph here I'd like you to read about loving history.
I could say that I've come to Gettysburg as a rubbernecking tourist, that I've shown up to force myself to mull over the consequences of a war I never think about, because that would make a better story. A gum-chewing, youngish person who says like too much comes face to face with the horrors of war and learns something. But, like, this story isn't like that. Fact is, I think about the Civil War all the time, every day. I can't even use a cotton ball to remove my eye makeup without spacing out about slavery's favorite cash crop. And that line from Lincoln's second inaugural address that it may seem strange that any men should dare to ask a just God's assistance in wringing their bread from the sweat of other men's faces. Well, that, and why does black eyeliner smudge way more than brown?
Sarah Vowell, reading from one of her essays in her new collection, The Partly Cloudy Patriot. Sarah, when did you become that interested in history?
Well, I was always interested in it, I guess, because of my father and my grandfather, and they would always talk about history just as history starring our family, you know, so... the reason we were all born in Oklahoma was because of Jacksonian Indian removal policy, because of the removal of our Cherokee ancestors on the Trail of Tears to eastern Oklahoma. So that's why we were there. Or the Civil War wasn't just some abstract thing. Our great-great-grandfather was in it as a Confederate. Or... you know, the Depression was something that happened to my grandparents, and one day a guy shows up for supper and my grandmother feeds him and he leaves $20 under the dinner plate, and that was Pretty Boy Floyd. So I guess we always had this kind of Zelig-like feeling for history as just something that we had been vaguely part of.
And what about in school? Did history classes work for you on that same level?
Not really. I don't know that it was always taught so inspiringly. You know, they never really gave a reason for it. Or, like, on the first day, they would always say that thing about we must learn history in order not to repeat it, which isn't really true if you end up, you know, a silly person like me. Like, they would teach us about Napoleon, so then I would know not to invade Russia in winter, which I don't really use very often. Whereas if they just told you, you know, you could learn about this thing, and then the world is just full of all these stories, and everywhere you go, you could feel part of this continuum, or just the perspective it gives. Like, my whole motto in life, in any situation, is it could be worse. And history is great for my motto, because in any situation, it could always be worse if you know the stories of history. Like, one thing I think about all the time is Andersonville Prison, the Confederate prison, you know? So if something doesn't go my way, I can't get a cab in the rain. I just say to myself, Andersonville. And I imagine myself dying of gangrene as a prisoner of war. And then I'd perk up.
So is love of history is in part a way to make you feel better about facing the problems in your own life.
Yeah, I guess.
My guest is Sarah Vowell. Her new book is called The Partly Cloudy Patriot. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our interview with Sarah Vowell. She's a contributing editor for the public radio program This American Life. Vowell often writes about movies and music. Her new book, The Partly Cloudy Patriot, is about her life as a history buff. You go to a lot of historic landmarks, and you even do this on vacations. What are some of the places you've visited in the past few years?
Let's see. Dallas, where Kennedy was shot. Salem. I love Salem, where the witch trials happened. Little Bighorn Battlefield. I've been there maybe three times in the last 2 years. The Teddy Roosevelt's cabin in North Dakota. A lot of presidential libraries, including Nixon, Eisenhower, Kennedy, somebody else. Oh, Johnson, my favorite, Johnson. Yeah, Gettysburg. I've been to Vicksburg. I was just somewhere. Oh, Wounded Knee. I was just at Wounded Knee on vacation this summer.
In your book, you write about how you spoke to a friend of yours about your love for historical places and your emphasis on historical places that have some kind of disaster attached to them.
Uh-huh.
And the friend you talked to about this is somebody who counsels people who survived torture.
Right.
So what did you tell her? What did she tell you?
Well, I called her right after I got back from Salem, and I had a really good time in Salem. But I felt kind of guilty about it. You know, like one of my favorite things that happened in Salem was that I was at this gift shop, and a guy in the gift shop asked the cashier, "Hey, you got any witchcraft trivets?" And she said, "You mean a trivet with a witch on it?" And I just thought that was really funny, you know, that this guy wanted, you know, that this, I don't know, I mean, it was horrible. This horrible thing happened here and 20 innocent people were executed, but this guy wanted to remember it by buying a thing he could protect his table from a burning saucepan with. And that just cracked me up, but then I felt bad about it. And I had such a good time in Salem, and I mean, it's a really pretty town, and there's a lot to do, and, you know, just, it's kind of kooky, like the Witch Dungeon Museum and things like that, and so I got home, and I felt guilty, because, you know, ultimately, this whole town's tourism industry is based around the fact that 20 innocent people were executed. And so I called my friend Kate, and Kate is a psychologist with the program for survivors of torture. And she's one of the funniest people I know, but it's weird that she has this torture job. She talks to people with actual historical problems. So I called her with mine, which was, why do I go to these places and why don't I ever go anywhere fun? Why don't I go to Hawaii or Martha's Vineyard or the Caribbean? Why, you know, like I went to the homestead of this elderly woman who was executed for witchcraft this weekend and had a great time. What is wrong with me? And, she basically told me, well, she said, it's not denial, it's the opposite of denial. And her idea was that I go to these places and I enjoy them, but that my humor about them is full of, she called it anxious giggles, and that I have an uneasy relationship with American history, which I do, because it's really bloody and dark, besides being inspiring. And that I go to these places and joke around and stuff, and I use humor as a way of managing my anxiety.
How does that strike you?
That seems about right.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I manage my anxiety a lot, I guess.
Do you wonder what it would be like if, say, a couple of decades from now, a young version of Sarah Vowell spends a holiday weekend at Ground Zero and buys some souvenirs? Is that the kind of thing that you think about?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's my nightmare. But I think one thing about historical places is the distance, you know, like that makes me cringe when you said that, because that just happened and it's still happening. And yeah, but there's something about distance that enables you to think about them. But I mean, and it's not completely sarcastic on my part. I don't have a lot to offer the world. I have very limited talents. And one thing I can do for the dead is I can remember them. I'm not necessarily the spokesperson they would want, but, you know, they got me anyway. And even though I do joke around and have fun at places I'm not necessarily supposed to have fun at, I do tell their stories, albeit in a very often peculiar way.
Sarah Vowell is my guest. She has a new collection of pieces, and it's called The Partly Cloudy Patriot. You mentioned parenthetically someplace in the book that you had a hearing problem as a kid. Well, what was the problem and how was it diagnosed? You love music so much. Music is so much a part of your life.
That's how it was diagnosed. I was very small, and my parents just thought I was really obstinate because I would never do what they would tell them. And one day I was watching the Mickey Mouse Club show on TV, and there's that part that goes, "Forever let us hold our banner high," and I was singing, "For every little polar bear to hide." And my mom was like, what? What are you singing? Because I think a bear was holding the banner. So I was just taking clues, you know. And so then I had to get my hearing checked. And then those tests just terrified me because I would just fake my way, you know, where you hold your arm up. And right. I would just fake it the whole time. I couldn't hear anything. And so, so I had to get tubes in my ears for quite a while. I think that might also, compound neuroses, it might be another reason I'm afraid of water, because when you have tubes in your ears, you can't get your ears wet. And so I was terrified of getting my ears wet. And it would happen so early, and it was diagnosed so early. I think the whole thing was taken care of by the time I was maybe five.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I still probably talk a little weird, but I don't know it has anything to do with that. I think maybe it has to do with being raised by Okies, but otherwise, yeah.
Well, since we've established that you love music,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you to choose something that you've been listening to lately that you really love a lot that we can play to close.
Oh, let's see. This is such an opportunity. I really love Ricky Nelson's Lonesome Town.
Oh, okay. Why have you been listening to it?
I like those kind of panoramic, atmospheric songs like that, you know, kind of like Eddie Arnold's Cattle Call, you know, that has that yodeling at the beginning. And there's just this kind of very American, desolate, open feel.
Now, is Ricky Nelson somebody who you knew from childhood or somebody who you caught up with later?
I think my uncles were big rockabilly fans, so yeah, I heard him as a kid, but it's really only within the last couple of years that I've come back to him.
Well, good choice. Thanks for choosing that.
Going to Lonesome Town is like coming home.
Okay. Sarah Val, thanks so much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you, Terry.
Sarah Val's new book is called The Partly Cloudy Patriot. This is Fresh Air.